You know, Special Olympics has a great presence in the state of Connecticut, you know, for many years run by Bo Daugherty. And, you know, a lot of the I was on the board for a few years when I was my first stint in Connecticut. And the organization's amazing. And the backstory is amazing, too. Obviously started by Eunice Kennedy Shriver, sister of JFK, and stayed in the family and run by Tim Shriver for a long time now. He's the chairman of Special Olympics, but he's been, you know, basically doing that since 1996. And he's going to be in Connecticut tomorrow to speak. And also, we want to talk about something called the Dignity Index. And we're lucky enough to have Tim on the phone here on Brian & Company. Tim, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's good to have you on. So you're coming back. You have people don't know this. You have a really strong, deep roots in Connecticut, especially from your education. You spent years in the New Haven area, right?
Yeah, I lived 19 years in New Haven, and I listened to, you know, I don't know if anybody old enough. I listened to Bob Steele. I mean, can you believe that?
You're right in our demographic now, Tim.
Yeah, I know. I know. I listened to Red Sox on TIC for almost 20 years. So, yeah, I love the state. It's kind of really my home, and still in many respects. I haven't lived there in a long time, but some of my oldest and best friends are there. And you mentioned the Special Olympics work. Of course, I was on the board there in Special Olympics Connecticut for 10 years, and with Bo and others, Peter Wheeler before him, really loved the work of expanding the program around the state, and the people who made it and built it are, you know, some of the closest people and people I admire the most.
So you're before we get to the Dignity Index, and there's a lot of, you know, in some ways it's the timing is really interesting, the way our current culture is communicating with each other. You're coming to town tomorrow. What's happening?
Coming to town, I've been invited to talk to the leaders of, you know, the state boards of the boards of education in the state. Lots of superintendents will be there. It's their annual conference down in Groton. And, you know, I'm just looking forward to talking to educators about what we can do in a time when people feel like contempt and divisiveness and dehumanization is normal. Educators, you know, can't survive with that. They need an alternative. So I'm there to talk a little bit about my experience and thinking about how dignity works, a lot of which I learned, by the way, from these athletes of Special Olympics. But now we've translated it into this new tool called the Dignity Index, and it helps us kind of figure out where we want to locate ourselves when we talk about each other. Do we want to be, you know, cruel and hateful and dehumanizing and contemptuous of others, or do we want to advance our principles without those qualities?
Yeah, I mean it's such a huge topic. I talk with my wife all the time about, you know, We don't want to lower the bar, right? I mean, you know, how do you, but you know, before I get to the Dignity Index, which I want to get in details of what it is, but you know, there's this thing, especially in this, the way the trans story was talked about and a lot of the backlash against the Democratic Party from this election, it's like, it's so hard to sometimes, you know, you want to be respectful and show dignity in conversation. And then sometimes it bleeds into the, you know, some people are hesitant to be honest about certain topics because they don't want to get criticized or canceled. There has to be like a balance and a line, right? I mean, that, and in this current conditions, it seems difficult to toe it.
Yeah, well, I think, look, if you think about treating people with dignity, a lot of people think you mean be nice to everybody or, you know, compromise your principles or be quiet if there's a conflict. That's not what treating people with dignity is about. Treating people with dignity is about speaking in your mind, sharing your principles, advocating for your beliefs without hatred for the other person.
Yeah.
So the reason people are afraid to speak is because they're afraid to be treated with contempt. And the reason I think some of these cultural issues have become so problematic is that both sides, and I'm sorry to say this because I lean decisively progressive on these issues, and but I think progressives often don't see how contemptuous we can be of people who disagree with us. And people on the strong conservative side are also the same. They say, well, we're not contemptuous. The other people are.
Yeah.
The other side is the problem, not our side. So you don't have to have a false equivalency about issues. You can say, hey, look, I believe in justice. Their position is unjust, whoever they is. But you can say that without treating the people themselves
Without calling them idiots or morons or
exactly. Yeah. Those words would score low on our scoring tool, which we love to share.
Yeah, let's talk about it. Let's talk about the Dignity Index. Talk about what it is and what's the genesis of it.
Yeah, so, you know, I watched Special Olympics athletes for 35 years, and if there's one quality they have, they treat people with dignity. Even people that have maybe not understood or been close or friendly or even supportive of them, they still do it, right? So a couple of friends of mine and I got together and said, well, how can we bring that value to the country? You know, we see it when you go to a Special Olympics event, you see it everywhere. Everybody, you don't know Republican or Democrat. You don't know young, old, black, white, gay, straight. It's an environment in which people treat each other almost invariably with great dignity. So we decided, like, you can't advocate for a principle unless you can show people how you score it. I know it sounds crazy. So we spent 2 years building a scoring tool, and we tested it and retested it and got social scientists to validate it. And what it does is, on a scale of 1 to 8, 1 being, you know, you don't deserve to live. That's how I'm going to talk to you. You're subhuman. In the middle of the scale, you get people who will say, well, you deserve a right to share your opinion. I'm better than you, but maybe I'll listen to you. And as you move up the scale, you start to hear people say, well, let's explore. I want to listen to you, even though I disagree with you passionately. And at the top, at an 8, no matter what, no matter how vehemently I disagree with you, I'm still going to treat you with dignity. People, you know, you see these moral heroes, Anne Frank in the midst of the Holocaust, or Eddie Hillesum, or in our own time, Martin Luther King Jr. often used this kind of language. No matter how strident and impassioned my positions are, I will not dehumanize people on the other side. So that's an 8.
Yeah. Well, I just want to interject. We only have about a minute and a half, Tim. We're talking with Tim Shriver, chairman of Special. No. This is great. But my question
is, I get so excited.
So are you trying to get school systems to adopt it? Like, what are we doing?
It's not just school systems. It's not just school systems. We have businesses now that want to bring dignity to the workplace. We have universities that want to educate kids about how do you protest with dignity when you believe passionately. And, you know, tomorrow morning in Groton, we'll be talking about how school systems can teach it and how teachers can model it. So, you know, look, we're living in a culture of contempt. We see that. Contempt often wins. In the media, you know that. It often results in higher clicks and higher ratings.
Yep.
But it's destroying our families. It's pulling us apart as people. It's making it almost impossible to solve problems. And it's threatening our country. No matter what you believe, conservatively or progressively, on political issues, I think almost everybody wants our families to be stronger and our country to be stronger. We can't do it if we continue to nurture a culture of contempt. We've got to shift to dignity.
I mean, I don't always win, but I think you're so right. I try to tell my kids that, you know, because my wife is very progressive too, and we have a lot of dialogue in the house. I was like, you have to show respect to someone else's opinion, even if you can't stand what they're saying. But it's hard. It's hard to do the way things are. You know, Tim, it's great stuff. I mean, I hope you have a great visit tomorrow in Groton as you speak to these educators. And we'd love to have you on again. You know, if there's anything going on that you want to talk about, or if you want to talk more
about the
index.
You know what? I'd love to come on and talk with you and your wife and showcase the Dignity Index. We can do a couple of little fun exercises. I know, but this is where it matters. This is where the rubber meets the road.
It makes me nervous.
Thanks for having me.
It makes me nervous. Listen, safe travels, Tim. We appreciate it.
Thank you. All right.